Welcome back, Petersburg parishioners, to the podcast Listening In. I am Julia Monin, your host, pastoral associate here at our region. And I have with me today a special guest, Deacon Terry Coleman, who is deacon here at our region as well. Welcome, Deacon Terry.
Well, thank you for having me.
Deacon Terry and I are going to talk about vocations today. And before we get into our discussion, I'm going to open up with the prayer for vocations that we say at Mass. So this is a prayer that most of us will probably be familiar with. And I ask you to pray it with me if you know it at home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty Father, you have created us for some definite purpose. Grant us the grace to know the path you have planned for us in this life and to respond with a generous yes. Make our archdiocese, parishes, homes, and hearts fruitful ground for your gift of vocations. May our young people respond to your call with courage and zeal. Stir among our men a desire and the strength to be good and holy priests. Bless us with consecrated religious and those called to a chaste single life, permanent deacons and faithful husbands and wives who are a sign of Christ's love for his church. We commend our prayer for vocations to you, Father, through the intercession of Mary, our Mother, in the Holy Spirit, through Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This prayer written by and given to us by Archbishop Dennis Schnur, we began saying, how many years ago, Deacon? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know the number, but many years ago.
Yeah, at least two or three, I'm thinking.
Probably longer than that.
More than that.
Yeah.
This prayer for vocations, which when we hear the word vocation, perhaps we immediately think maybe the call to the priesthood. But I don't know if we all equate vocation with what it really is, vocation as a husband or a wife, vocation as a lay single person, secular in the world. And I just love that opening line. You have created us for some definite purpose. Grant us the grace to know the path you have planned for us in this life and to respond with a generous yes. This is the idea of vocation, yes.
Right, and to me, that is the central point of this prayer, that he has created us for some definite purpose. And we might even say purposes. You know, sometimes we think there's only one thing God has in store for us, but there might be several things God has in store for us. So that's important. And it's nice, too, and sometimes we only find out in hindsight what, God intends for us. But looking back, in my life, I can see the path God has chosen for me.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that. I was telling you when we met to do this that I really don't know your vocational story too well, how you were called first into the married life and then into the diaconate.
Well, actually, I was I thought at the time that I was being called to the priesthood.
Oh, really?
And I was fortunate enough to grow up in the era of a lot of Catholic schools. I was able to go 7 of the 8 years in grade school to a Catholic school and 4 years of Catholic high school. And during those years, I was taught by Dominican nuns and by diocesan priests. And I just loved the nuns, well, at least most of them.
I've heard stories.
They were Sister Jean Mary and Sister Sean Padre, and I did not get along. But most of them were very sweet people. And in high school, the boys and the girls were separated, so it was just the boys and the priests. And that was really a good experience. And during that time, I really began to wonder, these people just seem to be, happy, and they seem to have like what they're doing. I began to wonder, is God calling me to the priesthood? So I had also at that time, I had become aware of girls, growing up. And one of my prayers was, I hope a wonderful girl moves in next door and that I marry her and we live happily ever after. But no girl moved in next door. So more and more I became wondering, is the priesthood maybe in my life? So by the time I graduated from high school, I made a deal with God in my first year of college. And I said, Lord, I would like to graduate from college. And if it be your will, I'd like to go into the military after that. And this was the time of Vietnam. Everybody was going to Vietnam. And I said, I'd like to go serve my country in the military. And I said, if you allow me to come home, I said, I would seriously consider going to the seminary. That was pretty much my plans for the first year of college. And then as I began my second year of college, came about, and it was on September 5th, 1969. Mm-hmm. And my sister and her best friend, Monica, asked me if I'd like to meet Monica's sister, Mary. Mm-hmm. And Mary and I had went to high school at South Bend St. Joseph together. And since I had just transferred in for my senior year, I didn't know a lot of people and not many of the girls. So Mary and I never met in high school. And again, we were separated. They were on one end of the school. The boys were on the other. So I'm sure we passed each other in the hallway every day, but never took notice of each other. So I did something very smart. I said, yes, I'd like to meet Mary. So I went over to Mary's home, and I was hit by the proverbial stack of bricks. I was smitten when I met Mary, and thoughts of the priesthood vanished from my mind, although God didn't forget that vocation. And I knew within just a few days that, you know, this is the girl for me. And she wasn't the girl next door, but she was the girl down the street and around the corner, mm-hmm. close enough, you know, to answer my prayer. So we dated for 3 years, and after I graduated from Notre Dame, we were married that August. And 6 years went by. We had 3 children, and I was thinking, you know, well, this is maybe the way it's going to be, living in the South Bend area. But then another thing came up. God sent me an invitation, and I received a phone call. Would I be interested in moving to Jackson Center, Ohio, to work for Airstream? Hmm. And fortunately, I said yes. And looking back, you know, you could see that God was really involved in this. Our house in Elkhart sold within a couple weeks. We found a home in Jackson Center that had just been built. So let's see, that would have been in January of 1979. Mary and I, 3 kids, the youngest being 3 months old, and a parakeet, drove to South Bend, or not South Bend, excuse me, to Jackson Center. And so I began to work for Airstream, and I've been there now for 38 years. Mm-hmm. But that set the stage for my continued vocation in life. One of the things I'd kind of hoped to do in college, I was very interested in medicine. I kind of hoped maybe I could become a doctor, but it soon became apparent to me that I was never going to pass organic chemistry and some of the higher math courses to be a doctor. So I kind of gave up on that and went into government. But God, again, didn't forget about that desire. So after a few years in Jackson Center, I found myself as an Ohio paramedic. So for the next 24 years, I was able to kind of live out my dream for medicine and help people running on the rescue squad. Mm-hmm. So God answered that prayer. And I became involved in parish life. Mary was a very good Catholic girl. She was just, that's one of the things that drew me to her. She was pretty. She was lively. She was a good Catholic girl. She was the life of the party, mm-hmm. and everything that I wasn't. And God, I know, sent her to me. So she encouraged me to get involved in parish life. And so we did, I did. Did my time in the parish council. I taught CCD, became a communion minister, a lector. You know, all of the things that later in my life, you know, I would be doing in the diaconate. Mm-hmm. So it was during the 1980s that I began to see little blurbs here and there about the permanent diaconate. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was interested. I thought that was kind of a neat thing to do. But 1989, our surprise baby, Kimberly, came about. And Mary had become a nurse in 1983. And about the time Kim came along, Mary wanted to continue her education. So she started to go to school to get her bachelor's degree, then her master's degree. So Kim and I spent a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. And thoughts of the diaconate had to be put on hold because I was just too busy with Kim and the other three kids. Then after Mary got settled, she got her master's degree and began to teach. It reached the point by about 1998 that I had the opportunity at that time to reconsider the diaconate. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I checked into it, read all the literature that was available, and I called down to Cincinnati with Mary's urging, and they said, well, to get into the program, you have to either have a master's degree in some form of theology, or you have to go through the LPMP program. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go through the LPMP program, which was another great decision. The LPMP program, for anybody that's listening, is just a wonderful place to go and learn more about your faith. You're surrounded by many just faith-filled Christian people. And I met a lot of wonderful people, some of whom I still see from time to time. So for 2 years, I went to LPMP in Springfield, Ohio. And then in 1991, I think it was, I filled out my application for the diaconate. Barry Mersman, the head of the program, came to our house, interviewed me and Mary. And so I signed up, never thinking that I would ever be accepted, because I knew some of the people that were, you know, applying, and I just didn't feel I was in their league. So lo and behold, I was accepted. And I guess it would have been 2001, I entered Mount St. Mary's Seminary down at the Athenaeum in Cincinnati. And then spent three of the most wonderful years of my life at the seminary. There was a total of 45 classes plus some extra classes that we took over those 3 years. And I was just surrounded by a group of men and their wives that are just outstanding people. Mm-hmm. And they are still dear friends to this day. And learned so much about our faith in great depth. And I was surrounded by just wonderful teachers. And at that time, there were just a lot of men that are pastors today that were just, became good friends while we were down there. So the 3 years came and went, and next thing I know, I'm kneeling in front of Bishop Pilarczyk, and he's laying his hands on me, and I became a deacon. So I guess it's been about 14 years now. Mm-hmm. I've been a deacon. And during that time, my vocation changed a little bit in the married life. We started to have grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Now we have 8 grandchildren and 1 great grandchild. We are young great grandparents, and so that's taken up a lot of my life too in that vocation. So God, when He closed the door to the priesthood, He opened the door for the diaconate, mm-hmm. for me later in life. When He closed the door of becoming a doctor, He also opened the door to becoming a paramedic, mm-hmm. for a number of years. And when He closed the door to marry the girl next door, He opened the one to marry the girl down the street and around the corner. Okay. So He, looking back, you can see the purpose God had for me in that life. It wasn't always easy at the time. Absolutely. There were some disappointments going through my life, but everything worked out great in, mm-hmm. the end.
This is the beauty of God's call, and His unveiling to us of our mission and our purpose. And like you said, our purposes in life and why are we here is, as we look back, we can go, oh, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Of course, this is how it was happening and why it was happening and why that worked out and why that didn't work out. But when you're in it, when you're living it, sometimes it's easy to
you just get lost in the shuffle, and you don't see things quite so clearly when you're actually in it. And that's where faith comes in. That's where we have to be faithful people who trust that God is unveiling us to this one step at a time. And that if there isn't something that's come into fruition yet, or that we don't quite fully grasp, well, then there's a reason for that. And perhaps it's not time for us to know, or he's still doing some prep work behind the scenes or something like that. So, wow, I just learned a ton, because I've been a parishioner here at Immaculate Conception my whole life. So I've certainly seen you around as a deacon since I was a young little person. But I never knew your story. So I thank you for sharing that with me and with us. That's really inspiring. I don't know what else to say except thank you. I legitimately love hearing people's stories about how God is at work in their life and how he's called them into these different things and how it works. Because to me, that helps me see the glory of God when we can see how he's been at work in your lives and in the lives of those around us. So what I was going to do is share some of my vocation story as well. But we are running out of time already. It goes really fast. So I'm thinking now that what I will do is wait, and I will do that next month. And next month then I'll return. I'm not sure yet with who, but I'll return with somebody and share my vocation story and my call into the married life and into this life as pastoral associate and some other things as well. So I'll share that with you next month. But for now, any final thoughts to our listeners in this theme of vocation?
Yeah, for those of you that are listening, I think it's important to listen. You know, if you're discerning a vocation, even if you're older in life, you know, God may not be done with you. There may be other purposes that God has in store for you. So listen to him. Be open to what God might be telling you. Sometimes, you know, things start coming into your mind, or you might read certain articles that God may be using to point you in a certain direction. One of my friends used to tell me that God hits us on the head with a velvet hammer to direct us. It doesn't hurt, but it gets our attention. So listen to God's calling. Trust in God that he has something in store for you. And then sometimes you just have to take a chance. Go out there. You know, maybe what the you pick, maybe not what God has in store for you, and that'll become apparent to you. And maybe that is what God wants you to do. So be open to God's calling and be attentive, and you can't go wrong.
Thank you. I'll end on this note from one of my favorite people, Father Joseph Kentenich, who is the founder of the Schoenstatt Movement. He lived by this idea of the open door. Walk through the open doors. We never know for sure what God has in store for us, what he's asking us to do. But he'll open doors, as you so beautifully shared with us in your story. One door would close, another one would open.
Exactly.
Simply walk through that open door. And if at some point it's no longer God's will, the door will close. So pay attention to where that closes, and then look for the next one. And I live by that philosophy, and I try to remind myself of that daily. Walk through the open doors. Where are the opportunities? Walk through it until it closes. And when it closes, we move on, because we trust that that's God's will for us. So again, thank you, Deacon Terry, for being with us, and thank you all for tuning in to this month's podcast. And now, if you don't mind, I'd like to maybe close us in prayer.
Okay. Lord, we ask you to be with us always. Please show us the path we are to follow in this life. Be with us and guide us. And I ask you to bless all of those people who are listening to the podcast this day. Be with them and bless them abundantly. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.